I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is our March 24 Economic Development Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture meeting. Clerk Muller, could you call attendance?
Absolutely. Chair Sperry?
I'm here.
Deputy Chair Litz?
Here.
Legislator Clinton?
Here.
Legislator Corcoran? Legislator Hewitt?
Here.
Legislator Stewart?
Here.
And Legislator Walz?
Here.
You have 6 members present, 1 absent.
Okay, can we do the Pledge of Allegiance? Legislator Litz, can you lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you to Tyrone for live streaming us. Thanks, buddy. You're the best. Okay. Is there any conversation or questions about the January 30th, 2024 meeting minutes? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Perfect. Any opposed? Minutes approved. Thank you. Now we're going to start taking a look at the resolutions for today's meeting for March 19th legislative session. So the first resolution is number 89, which is reappointing members to the Soil and Water Conservation District Board. The reappointments are Legislator Litz, Legislator Nolan, Frederick Wilklow, Sarah Van Nostrand, and Robert Davenport. Are there any questions about these appointments or reappointments? Any?
I don't know. That Herb Litz guy. I'm not sure.
What does he know about him?
He's got way too much to do there.
Is Jake with us?
Yep.
Jake, do you have anything you'd like to say about the appointments or reappointments?
Back. Thank you.
Great. I like the succinctness of that. All right. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Congratulations. Now we have resolution 90. This is a tough one. Reappointing a legislative representative to the Ulster County Cooperative Extension Board. I would like to nominate myself to be legislative representative for CCE. Is there any discussion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you.
For discussion?
Yes.
Just actually, this resolution is Peter Criswell's resolution.
Yes, you're right.
Nominating you.
Thank you for that clarification.
So we can blame him.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Okay. The director's here. Would you like to say any words about this appointment?
Ecstatic to have you back and done a wonderful job helping your liaison and reports kind of being sure that we flow as smoothly as possible. So very excited to have you back.
Me too. Okay. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Perfect. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations. Okay. Resolution 91, providing authorization for the U.S. Treasury reporting for 2025 and 2026 ARPA administration estimated cost, Agriculture Crisis Relief Coordinator, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience. Are there any questions or discussion about Resolution 91? Legislator Hewitt.
I'm not sure if you'd be the right person to answer this, but is this funding coming from a different ARPA funding stream and is now being redirected to this position?
So this, so going back to 2022, when we had Resolution 400, which created this position and the funds for this program, we, Economic Development and ARPA, supported that resolution, which created the position and created the funding stream for this program. So the the position is currently being funded through 2024, and then this is obligating the funding through 25-26.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so this is before us tonight because it's the position is in economic development, and we are obligating that funds as per the federal guidelines for ARPA requirements and funding. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Legislator Stewart.
So I had an issue with the, on page three, with the third whereas.
Okay.
Which reads, whereas Ulster County has issued two rounds of ARPA Parks program and awarded funding with a leftover remaining amount of $456,135. And intends to utilize a portion of this funding to cover the costs extending the Agricultural Service Administrator position. I have a problem with that simply because that resolution, that ARPA resolution that I put forward, which Legislator Hewitt co-sponsored, that was targeting $2 million for municipal parks projects around the county, mm-hmm. In matching funds. And I'm sure that you all will recall that at our last session meeting, Town Supervisor Baden, who leads the Town Supervisors Organization, stood up and made several comments regarding this ARPA Parks funding.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, those contracts have not gone out or have just gone out at this point. I'm not exactly sure which it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only for round one. So they're still working on contracts for round one. And it was my understanding that round three went out, but again, no contracts, no money. And then
round two went out.
And then there was supposed to be a third round. And in the third round, I had wanted to change that language to provide funding for, to add language that would provide funding for water access, mm-hmm. from our trails network and, mm-hmm. from municipal parks. And anyway, that I received a rather curt reply from Laura Nordstrom about that. And then I sent another email out to Director Litwin about what was going on with the third round. And I received another reply from Laura Nordstrom at that point. And I thought the wording of it was a little obnoxious. In fact, I have that, which I can provide to the body for records. I have to shuffle through papers here and find it, though. But anyway, it seems like it's very problematic if we write resolutions and those resolutions are approved by the ARPA committee and then they're approved by the body at large, then to suddenly reappropriate those funds at the last minute when those town supervisors have been told since December that this third round of funding would be going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had also made it clear to people in the Trails Advisory Committee, on which I also serve, that this trail access language would be in that third round of funding. And so I've had conversations with both of the town supervisors for the municipalities that, mm-hmm. I represent. They are expecting this third round of funding to come out, and it just seems, I realize that things happen. I realized that we as a body voted to bail out the village of Ellenville, and I realized that is a unique situation. But according to this, the funding is not because of we're bailing out Ellenville. This says this funding is because we are providing funding for this position.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no doubt that an agricultural crisis relief coordinator is a good thing and is probably needed, but I do have problems with it coming from a resolution that I wrote and presented to my constituents, and suddenly that money's just not there.
Okay.
And so for that reason, I will be voting no until this funding situation is worked out.
Thank
you. I believe I'm also a no on this resolution. We were working hard to create a round three.
Yes.
And I understand when there's a backlog of contracts, it makes it look like we're not getting these awards out fast. My question is, how do we help with the backlog of contracts?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, let's not fund important things because we have a backlog of contracts, do we need more lawyers, more staff? Do we need a CDFI? There must be a solution to get these contracts moving faster. It's not just the parks. I've heard even the nonprofit grants, Center for Creative Education just got their grant recently. I'm not sure what held it up, but other nonprofits got it over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an issue with contracts. And last time we went to an ARPA meeting, this funding was secure. $1.5 million was spent or secured, allocated in round one and round two. Round one is only just happening with its contracts. Round two is allocated, but the contracts aren't close. We want round three to happen. So we believe $500,000 was allocated properly, where we all wanted it, $2 million in parks, but because of the process, maybe the application process where each town had to match what we were giving them, maybe that slowed it up. But we know we need more funding to our town's parks.
And I had sent an email to leadership, legislative leadership, you know, saying, do we need to get more, do we need to provide Nate's office with more funding to help, you know, to hire someone else to take care of this backlog? And I'm not sure where that stands,
mm-hmm.
But according to a letter that I received from Laura Nordstrom, it says ARPA has been tasked with 124 contracts since August of 2022. 95 initially, of which 44 have been closed out. Okay, so we're talking about 18 months, 44 contracts. Only 44 contracts have been completed in 18 months. That seems problematic, and so I would welcome to hear from Nate. So,
yeah, I'm happy to speak. Just to address the comment on the contracts. I believe that's referring to 44 contracts that are closed. So that means the contract term has expired, the money has been processed and expended. So that's the very tail end of completing contracts. But that's just a point of clarification. What I'm hoping to speak on is more of the framework, the wider framework around this resolution. Now, I started out with a draft on this resolution. I believe it was about 2 pages. It has expanded since then, and I'm not the writer of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody can see where the amendments are because they're in bold print, and I'm still catching up on how that occurred. But I think it's very important for the committee, and I realized I wanted to be here tonight because I realized this is the first committee that is seeing this resolution, which I agree is different, and I agree that there's been a lot of planning about many different ARPA programs, but I think as the director of ARPA, I just need to provide some of the things that have come at us a little bit quickly. So the U.S. Treasury provided the third interim final rule in November 2023. Now, I know that's a few months ago, but there was a changing of the year, and the legislature doesn't meet for part of that, and so I think this is finally getting grasped by myself and being able to be presented. But the deadline that is up and coming, and it really is an obligation deadline specifically for admin, because this new guidance in November 2023 basically just provided an opportunity where administrative funding can be reported in April of 2024 to obligate it for 2025 and 2026, with the idea that that was, they finally created the mechanism, so we finally know how we can do this, because mm-hmm. I think up to that point, we're all just going year by year, because we obviously can't, you know, the legislature cannot pass a budget now for 2025 or 2026. So thankfully, U.S. Treasury, I think they're a little late, but thankfully they did finally provide the guidance and we know the mechanism. Fortunately, I think we're all a little bit under the gun. Luckily, we have March and we have April, but that's it. And then we lose the opportunity. So that's the major point and the major framework that I think needs to be stressed, mm-hmm. just so that people kind of get the impetus behind this. And that's it. All okay.
Legislator Litz.
Well, I think it's very ironic that, I mean, we all need parks, trails, and whatever, but apparently we don't need food. The second largest economic driver in this county is agriculture. It took a lot of twisting of arms to get ARPA money for farmers in this county. It was on the back burner, and we got $2 million out of 17.4. I think it's very ironic. We're worried about a lot of different things, but we really don't care about where we get our food and the people that produce the food for you. I don't know. I mean, the program has to be administrated. I didn't put this resolution in. I wasn't aware that they were taking money from there. There was money in the agriculture AARP 400, resolution 400 for this position, but like the man said, you cannot put in the budget that is not prepared yet. So the budget for 2025 is not here. The budget for 2026 is not here. The position is needed to administer that program. So, I don't know, farmers come in last.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah, I'm going to echo Legislator Litz a little bit here, but I don't think it's quite as much an opposition, maybe, as we're letting ourselves slide into. It looks like to me, is for another position. It's an administrative position to help out the program manager, is what it looks like to me. And the title needs to be amended. No, because it says in the new bold, crisis relief coordinator is struck out and agricultural service administrator is added in.
Because that's the name in the budget as adopted.
Okay.
Somehow the administration appointed Deb to it. Similarly named position, but we always go with the actual budget language.
All right. So the title of this resolution needs to be amended to match this third whereas, I think. But so it's for the position, but for 2025 and 2026, but it has to be obligated by April of, or to get this funding forwarded that way, it has to be by April of 2024. So I suspect this is the first of many resolutions we're going to see like this, because it's going to be a scramble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to really be careful not to get at each other about this big pot of money that we got, that now we've used a lot of it in a methodical, over the course of a couple of years way, and now we're getting down to it, we need to get some of these things covered in ways that we didn't anticipate. And there's $456,135 of unexpended ARPA parks budget. If you take out the $178,796 that's mentioned in this resolution, there would still be $277,339 for parks. That's almost $300,000 still for parks. So I think there would be money available to continue to do for parks what we wanted to do, but I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do it with a third round if because of this problem of needing to obligate funds. So I'd say if a program has moved along to the point where we can preserve it, which for the ag program is $2 million, we have to invest $200,000 to have somebody to manage it. Mm-hmm. So, and that was originally put in the budget for that. But this is a way to implement that. So I think we should go ahead. I would ask for my colleagues to reconsider their no's in committee and vote this out of committee. We'll get a little more time to talk about it.
Yeah.
And think about the fact that this moving money around would preserve $1.8 million to go to farmers. And that program took a lot to get it to this point. It's really complicated. And there's not some other way we fund that. Whereas with different kinds of trails, including water trails, I believe there are some ways to fund it. And I will certainly commit to that. But I would really urge my colleagues to, let's do this one. And somebody on the committee, please. Or maybe it could be Chair Sperry for this, could make the amendment to the title. And move it forward so that we, you know, don't put the Ag Crisis Program at risk.
Yeah, and I just wanted to remind everybody that there's going to be an ARPA meeting this Thursday at 4 p.m., which we could continue this conversation at. But for the purposes of economic development tonight and this resolution being before us in this committee for the first time, I would like to urge us to adopt the amended resolution.
We need the amendments when you're ready.
Okay. Sounds the title. Okay. Do you guys have any? Is what Kathy Nolan said, does that alter your thoughts on?
Yeah, I think I'm on the speaker list. Am I next?
Yeah, you can go next.
Great. I believe the position is crucial. I think both legislators Litz and Nolan make great points. Deb Gowan is the perfect choice for this position. I'm not doubting the position itself. I think that it's crucial to get more money to farmers. In fact, the park's funding is encouraging in the new legislative intent water access and edible landscapes. So then we're talking about natural edibles in our parks. Based on this timeline of creating funding for 2025 and 2026, I don't see the rush to move it through committee tonight. I think it's more like find out how this happens, because why not take the money from Brownfield's ARPA funding? Why not take it from Main Street's ARPA funding? I don't know if parks funding is the place to take this from. I think it's a very important to keep funded for the future, but I'm just questioning how this happened so quickly to take $500,000 out of funds.
Legislator Litz.
I believe we have to report to the Department of the Treasury by April 30th of 2024, obligating this. So if we don't do it in March, we could do it in April. But if it doesn't go in April, we don't get the federal funding. And I don't know what other ARPA funds are tied into this, maybe parks and all the other reporting out we have to do for the ARPA funding, because this is an administrative requirement.
And it's as per federal guidelines via ARPA, which came down in November, basically saying this is how you can obligate funds. Legislator Collins.
Again, I'm a new legislator, so I wasn't part of the initial discussion with ARPA money and where it should be going. Now it should be going to different places. But it seems to me like we are now scrambling for the bottom of the barrel money, and there's lots of places it can go, many of them very, very important to different people. I'd like to understand exactly how much money there is at some point and how much and where it should be allocated and what's been promised. Because what I've been hearing from the two legislators at the end of the table is that it's been promised already for certain uses. And now we're saying it's not promised for those uses. That's got to be upsetting to those people who relied on those promises. So there is a scrambling for this money that, again, I'm new, I don't understand how the scrambling came about, but we need to understand that as a body and not just say, oh, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. Because at some point we've got to say we can't do that because we've done this before. So I want to see where the money is, how much money is there, and look at the allocations again and say, what can we do to satisfy all the needs that we have? And there's a lot of needs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you
want to say? I was going to say that I certainly have nothing against funding this particular position. I'm sure it's needed, and I certainly support farmers. But I also support the town supervisors who are expecting this money that I, who I've discussed this with on numerous occasions. And today, this is the first time that I saw this. And when I read this, I was just like, I was like, what the hell? I've already announced to Peter Criswell and to Tom Cochran and to Kevin Roberts and to Abe Uchitel in the form of an email that I would be voting against this until this is solved. So my vote is going to stand, I certainly have no problems with supporting this this position or this resolution if we could find someone else's ARPA funds to use in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know the details. I think that the Thursday's ARPA meeting will provide more of them. But I think there are going to be pressures that start to come to bear on us that do are going to require us some accommodations.
Right.
And they have to do with the fact that this is, as an administrative position, as I'm reading this, needs to be clarified by April of this year. And so that means we need to move it forward in committees until we're sure we don't want the ag program to run. So the constraints here may be, which program monies can get obligated the way ARPA needs them to be. And if we have $1.5 million that's already going for parks and there's difficulties getting that moving forward, though that is bad, it's equitable in the sense that it's the nature of the thing, not somebody trying to take monies away from one thing or change it around now. It's more what do circumstances dictate. So an ethics friend of mine has said that there are things that are equitable that are not fair. And I think this may be one of them, and I certainly understand a vote against this. I just hope there's enough votes to get this out of committee so that all of us get to look at it again in the ARPA committee, and I think it's got another ways and means so we'll get some other chances. And stopping it tonight could really be like throwing it off into a space where it's hard to rescue. So anybody who can vote for it, I would ask you to vote for it tonight.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention to Legislator Collins, I think the process on ARPA funding has been really smooth, cordial. I think early on, Legislator Maloney referred to it as Brewster's Millions, and I had to look up what that meant, and it was Richard Pryor. He inherited $35 million that he had to spend within 2 weeks. We got $34 million. It was almost exact. And it was difficult to spend, but mostly because of being fair with each other or equitable about our decisions. So we came up with a rubric of how to decide. Everyone put ideas into a hat, and we rated them, and I think it all came out great. But I think Legislator Nolan is correct. Now is the time where it's going to start shuffling.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand if only $200,000 is needed, why not move $200,000? It makes it look like there's no more money for parks, and I would be in favor of $300,000 more for parks, but I don't understand why we're wiping out round three.
It only moves $178,000 as I read it. $178,796.
Why does it mention $450,000?
That's the amount, the total amount. So you have to subtract one from the other. That's where I get the figure of $277,339 is still in parks.
Okay, thank you.
Budget. If we pass this.
I would love a clarifying question. What did you mean by preserve the $1.8 million for farmers?
We have allocated from ARPA funding a total of $2 million, and $1.8 of it is direct money to go for farm programs, farmers, land conservation. All of that is managed by this administrator. So the administrator costs the $178,796 for 2 years, and that allows that $1.8 million to be expended as originally proposed to the legislature and adopted and budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to add that in conferring with Nate, he is going to give a robust presentation about this on Thursday,
And, you know, additional element here is not only coming up with the amounts and having the plan set, but also being able to, you know, make any determinations about what would shift to lost revenue. And an important layer of that also is, are there things which you can do with ARPA money as special kind of federal money that you cannot do with county money? And those become critical also in this calculus of what the intent, you know, that we could be preserved and that program could still be funded potentially through county money, but while using the ARPA funds. And that's, again, another whole layer of kind of complexity to the situation.
Nate?
Yeah, thank you. I agree with all that. I think there is a larger discussion that doesn't need to be happening tonight in any way, but hopefully I think there's already been some discussion, and I'll say more at the ARPA meeting, but we're, as a division, as the ARPA division, as the Division of Recovery and Resilience, we're looking closely at the staff hours we have, what can actually be accomplished, and what won't be accomplished, how the money can be preserved, because April 30th is nothing. December 31st is when we're all going to cry if we have to give the money back to the U.S. Treasury. So I hope that's not a sad day. I hope it's a happy one. And my hope is to, you know, it's, I realize there's the money is allocated, and that's a very specific word, which means legislative approved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so much strong work on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the December 31st is the U.S. Treasury word, which is obligated,
mm-hmm.
and that means specific cost incurred, which cannot be allocated. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government is telling us. They're saying it needs to be in contract. And unfortunately, we're gonna have to work hard still at that,
mm-hmm.
because it ain't easy.
Mm-hmm.
We're still caught between the world of allocated, which is a little bit our world, and the world of obligated, which is the U.S. Treasury world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Would you say, Stuart? Did you want to say something?
Oh, no.
Okay. Good. I thought I had my hand. Okay, I would love to talk more about this on Thursday in ARPA, but for tonight I want to ask for a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
No, I don't want to amend it.
We need to amend the title.
The title.
No, just none of you have to.
I have to. Right.
We're
okay.
Not gonna do the title.
I won't.
We're not going to do
the
title.
Are you not
going to
do the title?
We can talk about the title on Thursday. But for tonight, we need to adopt the amendment as presented. I need a motion to adopt the resolution as amended before us tonight.
And the amendment is.
All of
the
bold and black. Oh, okay. So a motion to adopt the amendments as presented.
And you don't want to add change in the title?
I do not.
We do not. I do
okay.
not.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we to accept the amended resolution number 91.
Maybe a second.
I'll second.
Great. All those in favor?
Was that an amendment?
Just the amendments. Yeah. Voting on adopting the amendments as presented.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Cool. Any opposed?
Okay,
so the resolution has been adopted with the amendment now.
No, it's been amended.
I'll make a motion.
It's been amended, sorry.
I'll move the motion to adopt Resolution 91 as amended.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay. And I'm a nay because I'm doing this as a protest, I guess, over where the funding is coming from. And also because I had already informed people that I would be voting no in an email earlier today. So I stick by my word.
And I was almost a no, but I wanted to get out.
I look forward to seeing you both on Thursday.
I'll do that.
Okay, so moving on to resolution number 92, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with SUNY New Paltz Venture Hub to provide entrepreneurial and business recruitment and support department, Department of Economic Development. Is there any discussion or questions?
I'll make a motion to discuss.
Second. Okay. Thoughts, feelings?
Director Lynch, is this the first year the county is partnering with the Venture Hub?
Actually, this is the second year. This is just an extension to the municipal agreement with New Paltz. The Venture Hub is really a hub for emerging businesses, and they connect them with founders. That's very critical for Ulster County because it's really a jump start for new businesses to have access to capital and also grow employment. We are in contact with them on a monthly basis. They also get $250,000 from ESD because New Paltz is designated as a innovation hub, one of five in the state.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important. It's very strategic, and I've been working with the hub to also identify other funding sources and other accelerators, you know, really targeting specific sectors like agriculture, clean tech, biodiversity. So I'm assisting them to kind of grow their program, which includes meetups, includes counseling, but more importantly, it really connects them with investors, and that's what they need. It's an extension. It's a three-year contract. It's another extension that's going to come due in 25. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm working with them to identify other sources. I've introduced them to banks, M&T, JP Morgan, and we're looking at ways to, you know, increase their funding sources so they can have more grant availability to local businesses in Ulster County. I think it's a great program. It's the only one in the region. But I think it can certainly grow and it will.
Any other discussion or questions, thoughts or feelings? No?
I think it sounds great.
I attended 3 years ago, and there was an amazing business plan competition, and certain businesses got on it, their feet because of the Venture Hub.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Great.
I'm hoping at some point to book you to appear before the Roundup Valley Business Association.
I'm in by it. I would love that.
Excellent. I will be in touch.
Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to adopt the resolution?
Motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion. The resolution is adopted. Okay. The next resolution is number 93, amending capital project number 624. The SUNY Ulster Children's Center renovations, amending the 2024 capital fund budget for SUNY Ulster. Any discussion or questions?
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion, questions?
I see that we have Jen Zell here. I was wondering if you might tell us more about what's going on.
Sure. So the original approval was in 2021, and I'm sure as we all understand that the way inflation is, we have some additional scopes of work for architecture and engineering. So it's an increase of $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually
so it's going to engineering?
Facade of the children's center. So we appreciate your consideration.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any other questions? Can we get a motion to adopt the resolution?
I thought I did that already.
No, you did a motion to discuss.
And I will second that, so move.
I said I'll make a motion to move it, but
oh,
that's okay.
Oh, you did.
Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. I'll vote
on it. Let's the words matter, okay? We want to make sure we get on the same page. Okay, so
page two or three.
Are we adopting this or what?
Should we vote on it?
Ah, nice. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations.
Yay.
Yeah. Resolution number 93 has been adopted.
I did.
Okay. Moving on to resolution number 95, appointing member and alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Department, Town of Shandaken. This is appointing Chandra Valianti and Vivian Welton to the Ulster County Planning Board as a reps and alternative rep, respectively, for the Town of Shandaken for terms commencing immediately and terminating December 31, 2025.
I'll make the motion to move it.
I'll second the motion to move it.
Okay.
Ask the question.
I love it.
Want.
No, I'm.
Can we say motion to adopt? Moving forward,
yes,
with our motions to move?
You got it, sure.
Sounds like a movement.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Congratulations, Shandaken.
These two candidates are very well supported and appreciated in Shandaken. So thank you.
I was going to ask you if you knew these folks.
Yes.
I'm sure we would hear.
Yep.
Otherwise. Resolution number 96, authorizing the County of Ulster to submit an application and assurances to the New York State Environmental Faculties Corporation for round 4 of the Septic System Replacement Fund Department of Planning.
I'll move it for discussion.
And I'll second that.
Great, let's discuss it. Director Doyle, would you like to
give
us a little...
First of all, I'm not sure what the Environmental Faculties Corporation is. It should be facilities.
Facilities.
Oh. that may be my error. I'm not sure. But,
the
septic system program is a replacement fund. We're in round 4. It's an allocation, so if we apply, we'll essentially get the money. And it's about $300,000 to $330,000, depending upon the number of other counties that apply. The funding is available for failing or replacement of septic systems or repairs on failing septic systems. And the septic systems has to be within 250 feet of certain water courses within the counties. And it would be direct funding to the current owner of those systems, and they are residential systems, up to $10,000. And then they're matched by the landowner itself. So that's what this is about. We will work with the health department. We're also having discussions with CWC and the watershed. Jake from the State Farm. I couldn't resist it.
When you see a window, you got to take it.
Yeah, you do. So that's what that is. Not a lot of money, but certainly enough for us to be interested in essentially making sure that this goes forward. There is no administrative expenses associated with these. So we may be back to the legislature, depending upon how this works out, for some administrative expenses.
Great. Legislator Litt?
This is outside the Shokan Water?
To give you a sense, it will, in your area, down in your area, be Quesaic Creek, although that's Platte Hill area.
Mm-hmm.
The lower Esopus, believe it or not, is not in. The upper Esopus is. The area in around the Walk Hill River is included. There's some ponds down in there that are included. Lakes that are down there are included. But, yes, it's not.
But within the Shokan Watershed, that's paid for by the city, right?
It is. The problem in the watershed right now is capacity. We've talked to CWC about whether or not we could extend their funding with respect to that, or that they could provide support for those things in the watershed that are not eligible for funding from CWC, from the watershed folks. So that's a conversation, and that we've been joined by Green and Delaware County in those conversations.
Okay. I just wouldn't want the DEP funding should be the first source,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they pay for it, so.
Yep. Understood.
That's
so I've been talking with Deputy Executive Ball about perhaps trying to put together a septic study for the lower Esopus. How would this jive with that proposed septic study? I mean, would these work in conjunction with each other, or is this a totally separate?
It's separate because it's focused on parallel water bodies with
separate yet parallel. Okay.
Classes and designations. So that's how it doesn't, especially ones that have been identified as being impaired for new trucks, which the lower surface hasn't. Been identified for being impaired with sediment, not nutrients. So that's the kind of prioritization that comes with the state.
Okay. And this geographically, we're okay. The entire county we're talking about
here? The entire county, but only certain water bodies in it, and only those septic systems that are within 250 feet of that water body. Mm-hmm. And I think I provided, with the supporting for this resolution, I think I provided the list of the areas and the streams and the estimated number of
in the background.
Beautiful. Thank you. And is the Esopus on that?
Yeah. The upper Esopus is, believe it or not, the lower Esopus is not.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're talking about a study for the lower Esopus, we are in the process of completing a stream management plan. If you would send that material to us, we could have a good discussion in terms of whether or not it should be included within the stream management plan as an implementation phase. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So I'll be in touch with you guys about that.
Legislator Hewitt.
Oh, thank you. A couple things. I thought of a name for this project, Duchess in Green. It could be Doug Septics. Duchess Ulster Green.
Not Johnny on the spot.
Well, Doug. But I'm wondering how old the program is, because when I was on the Environmental Commission, we were looking at houses on Main Street that had their septic going into a pile of rocks and then near the river. In the
assuming that they've done one around every year, this would be and this is round four, would be 4 years old, but that may be an assumption I don't want to make, but I don't know, but if it's one every year, this is round four. Mm-hmm. And they have indicated, I know that they have indicated that they intend to do these on an annualized basis.
Senator Nolan?
With a lot of experience of the CWC program, I cannot speak strongly enough in favor of this. This is a very good way for us to stop putting stuff into the streams that is going into the streams. Mm-hmm. And so grab this money and then grab it again next year, and let's just work through all of the places that need to be repaired that are currently contaminating our water bodies.
Other counties, particularly in the Long Island area, are actually putting their own money associated with this, particularly as it relates to some of the administrative issues here, because the inspection work, the review of design and the approvals, I want you to think about, if we have $300,000 and there's no administrative cost associated with that's 30 some systems, and the health department is literally bleeding people and time, then they've indicated that they are very, very stressed and have substantial concerns about being able to implement it. We've been very fortunate, I think, in terms of the discussions we've had with Soil and Water Conservation District, that they would participate. They're looking at trying to hire another technician. I know that position may in front of the board or in front of this legislature, I'm not sure, but I would urge you to support it because we may need it for this program.
Got to put skin in the game. Huh?
Yeah.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Teamwork leads to dream work?
No, teamwork makes the dream work.
Oh, you need that.
No, it just comes out of my mouth every day. Ask my students. They're like, Professor Sherry. Enough. Okay. Do we have a motion on the table?
I will make a motion for adoption.
I will second.
As amended.
We don't need an amendment.
You're just going to change the title without a...
It's a typo.
Oh, okay. So we won't amend it. But I'll make that motion.
Could we adopt it without amendment? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Right.
Speaking of typos, I'm sorry, I'm a former English teacher. When we look at these amendments, it's like you capitalize two, the T and two, the O and of,
oh, yeah,
B and D. Is that... Is that the standard form?
Please.
For legislative titles.
I'm with you.
Well, thank you.
What is it
then? If it's lowercase, we got to
amend. Every time I see this, I'm just like, ooh. Okay, thank you.
Moving on to resolution number 97, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $9,900. I'm like, there's so many zeros right there. We'll talk about it later. Causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county Interfluve Engineering PLLC Department of Planning.
I'll make the motion to adopt.
We have a motion to adopt and a second to adopt.
Can we just get a quick rundown from directly boiled about.
So would we like to make a motion to discuss?
Yes, please.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Dr. Doyle, would you give us a quick...
Sure. You remember that I indicated just a little previously that we are in the process of doing a stream management plan. Stream management plan is part of an order of consent. We are the fiscal agents for that order of consent. We have around $211,000 in New York City DEP money that can be directed towards this. We reached out and hired a firm called Interfluve. They are through the and in draft for the stream management plan themselves and are just released the implementation plan or just going to release it. It's internal to the department right now on the implementation plan. The comment period, we extended the comment period on the plan itself because of concerns being expressed by New York City DEP. They are working through about 400 comments. Given the level of comments and the details of comments that we now have, they've requested additional funding to essentially make sure that we can address these comments in a much more substantial fashion. We got more comments, quite frankly, than I would tell you that this is a very well attended plan. We had meetings, workshops. 60 or so people have signed up. We're now
in the one in Marbletown was
yes.
super well
yep.
attended. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much.
I know that so. Kathy and I both went to that.
And we've been fortunate. I think I want to indicate that it's been a very cooperative entity with respect to the Department of Environment. Ben Gannon from the Department of Environment has been key in moving us forward, and Bert Samuelson from the Planning Department as well. And then, obviously, we've relied quite heavily on Amanda in terms of her knowledge of streams and stuff. So it's been really good.
Amanda Lavelle.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Expert.
Okay, would we like to make a motion to...
So moved.
Can I get a second?
And I'll second that.
Okay, can I... Get an all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Just note that Legislator Hewitt is not in the room. Thank you. Okay, we have some forthcoming resolutions we need to discuss. The appointments for the IDA Board of Directors. So you guys were provided via the OneDrive and email attachment resumes, proposed questions, current board membership, and excerpted enabling legislation for the UC IDA bylaws and links to the ID website. So I would just like to talk a little bit about, so we have to conduct our interviews first, and then after that we will decide and vote on reappointments and appointments. It's a two-year term, but the folks that are currently on the board will continue serving until we make the new appointments. So ideally, we would like to do the interviews in March so that we can have the decisions on candidates by the April resolution deadline, which is March 20th. Do you guys have questions right now, Legislator Stewart?
So I did a similar situation on the Energy Environment Committee when we were looking for board members for the Resource Recovery Agency. So basically we show up here and it's like a Zoom meeting and the members of the committee sit at the table and we hear.
We can do that.
Okay.
If it's the will of the body.
We can also call them in.
You can also call them in person.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've done it both ways.
Yeah. So I would just like to say, I believe we have 11 applications in. We have 11 applications in. There's 7 openings to be filled, and 4 current members have communicated that they would like to apply again. So
that's not included in the 11, the 4?
That is included. They have they're applying.
And has the deadline for applications. There's no further applications coming in.
No. So we're going to have a special meeting in March to do the interviews. Does anybody have any thoughts about when that would work for you guys? Or should we do a doodle poll or something to get availability?
It's also an option for you if the results of the poll don't mesh with March. You can ask the clerk to submit the resolution appointing the 7 with to be determined in the name, and then as part of your April meeting or sometime in between the deadline, you can make the decision. So it's not a hard 20th.
I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah, because we're already at March 5th or
6th. Yep. And I'm sorry, so you're going to send a doodle poll that was...
Something. Yeah, to figure out our availability. But I guess the bigger...
So our meeting would not have to... The interviews would not have to be by March 20th if we put the resolution in with to be determined.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we did it on a Saturday, which I think worked
We had multiple days that we did.
Yeah, 4 Saturdays in a row.
I don't know if it was 4. I think we did 2 or 3 interview days.
Saturday worked well. But I guess the poll will discover what works for everybody.
I guess the bigger question is if we're going to come here in person and Zoom with the candidates, like if we're going to sit here at the table and Zoom, or if we're going to be
holding the building open on Saturdays? Is the building open on Saturdays?
It can be.
Got to pay the sheriff's department.
They will, yeah. And it would have to be open to the public. It'd be a public meeting. Mm-hmm. It'd be advertised and all the things. Your interviews would happen in an executive session, but you'd still have to
advertise that the meeting is happening because people could come. Right. What if we do it all on Zoom? Like I'm at my house and Herbie's at his house.
We did that during COVID.
I know. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know if you're still allowed to do that. I thought committee members had to be present.
That's what I'm asking.
Actually, the answer to that, if you pass a resolution allowing Zoom meetings to fit with the open meetings law, you could do that. But if you haven't passed a resolution, which you probably haven't, you can't do it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are you just speaking to the emergency provisions?
I'm talking about the transition from the emergency provisions to non-emergency provisions.
Yeah, your rules are silent on video conferencing for committees. So it's allowable, but I don't know that the entire committee, we haven't done it.
All right, the entire committee is a different rule. The town of Woodstock has passed that rule, and certain towns have passed that law.
We passed a law regarding emergency video conferencing.
Okay.
That law requires a quorum be present in the room, but you're not meeting under the provisions of emergency.
Right, because
you're just having
it's not an emergency.
Right. Okay. So we will figure out times that work for all of us. We will come here and sit around this table, and we will Zoom in our applicants. Does that sound good?
Would it be on a Saturday, or would it depend on?
Depending on the majority.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference that you'd like to?
No, I just thought if we didn't have to pull in extra personnel and pay him, it might be wiser to.
Well, I just also want to say, if we have to do 11 interviews at, like, what, 20 minutes each? Yeah, that's what we did before. That's how many hours we could bang them out in one day.
Yeah, we actually did it at the meeting we had at SUNY.
When? Not last time.
No, it was time before that.
Mm-hmm. 2018, you think?
We had our annual meeting, you know, SUNY budget meeting at SUNY, and then we went to one of the classrooms and did all the interviews.
I have a feeling that was late because of COVID.
With UCRA.
I don't know.
Yeah, with UCRA, the members of the Environment Committee met here in the room in person, mm-hmm. and the people who were being interviewed came via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason that they need to be via Zoom? I mean, I'm an in-person kind of person. I like the dynamics that happen when you're in person versus talking to somebody else.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, absolutely.
So,
I mean, we could also, that's totally, whatever the will of body is.
I think in person.
I like it in person unless for some reason they can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
I don't want to preclude somebody because they just can't be here that Saturday
right.
or whatever. You know?
I mean, we could always say in-person preferred, but we'll accommodate right. for, you know, specific reasons.
Definitely
and then
fair.
We could just hopefully stack, like, the in-person people in the beginning and then do the virtuals at the end or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would take 4 hours to do that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And we would need a little time between.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out that we have the current IDA admin with us tonight. This is Hillary. Do you want to say anything about the IDA and the IDA process?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here happy to answer any questions. We are currently a board of 7. We did have 2 board members resign at the end of the year, so we're functioning on a board of 5. And as I'm sure many of you know, it's really hard right now for us to fill all of our committees. We're tasking kind of the same people over and over again for things. So we really appreciate you guys kind of getting this time frame for us because we really do want to fill out those seats. I think, you know, it sounds like you have a really robust number of candidates. I'm not sure what you've gotten in other years, but to me, 11 sounds pretty good. So I'm really excited about who would be joining the IDA. I think I had sent over Megan just like a little cheat sheet about time commitments and expectations of board members with our mission. If that's helpful for anybody or if anyone has questions about what our IDA does, we have our IDA, which does our pilot agreement, mortgage. We abate the mortgage recording tax, sales and use tax, and then we can issue tax-free and taxable bonds on projects as well. So if anyone has questions on that, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, we look forward to the appointments from the committee.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your new position.
Thanks. Okay. Any other questions?
That will be very helpful, the guidance on the board responsibility.
I can share it. Yeah, it's and we are an in-person board. Someone had mentioned, we have not passed or adopted any rules to allow for Zoom meetings. So I think it's kind of helpful if you guys, I love what you were saying, to set the precedent of an in-person board is what we're expecting of our board as well. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
I do want to tell you, so under new business, I do want to tell you, remind you, actually, I'm not telling you, I'm reminding you that April's committee meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, April 2nd, and we're going to be holding it at Cornell Cooperative Extension in the Kingston Plaza, so we're going on the road, right, Tyron?
Yeah.
It's a field trip.
Are you holding your meeting?
We are.
Okay. That's great. Thank you for doing that. Perfect. And we'll communicate that with you guys to remind you guys. Any old business?
Hearing none, I'll make a motion for adjournment.
One second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Grazie mille.